I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, starting May 6th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. PMH Atwater with us had a handwriting analysis in the mid-60s that led to a very complete career and lifestyle change. She was redirected into public service and innovative project development and analysis, and she began intensive research into paranormal and altered states of consciousness. With a professional background in hypnotic past life regressions, sensitivity work, de-haunting houses, mediumship, she became to specialize in aura massage, astrology, numerology, dream and symbol interpretation, divinatory, and earth energy sensing. Back in 1977, set the stage for severe health traumas resulting in death and near-death phenomena. The following year, in an effort to understand what had happened to her and what was still happening, she began to seek out and interview other near-death survivors. PMH Atwater back on Coast to Coast after about 4 years. PMH, welcome back.
Yeah, it's been 4 years. My goodness, hello.
How have you been?
Well, I'm doing absolutely great.
Well, fantastic. And your new book, Edgewalker, which you signed a very, very nice thing to me. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I thank you very much. And by the way, I bring tidings from Sidney Kirkpatrick and Mark Anthony.
All great people.
They're all saying hello, hello.
Super people. Tell us about your, and we'll get into Edgewalker in a moment here, but tell us, PMH, about the near-death experiences you had. How many did you have and what happened?
I had three. I had three in 3 months. I was raped. And it was because of I miscarried, and then complications from the miscarriage, and I physically died three times.
Oh, my God.
First one, January 2, 1977. Next one, January 4, and then March 29. Then later that year, I had three complete collapses. So I can honestly say that 1977 was not my year, and completely turned my life around, totally.
And they happened so quickly, one after the other.
Yes, and in my third one, I was a voice spoke. How do you describe that kind of voice? It's like the whole universe spoke to me. It was not a guide or a guardian or any of that kind of stuff. It was not an angel. It was like the whole universe spoke to me. And it said, and I quote, test revelation. You are to do the research. One book for each death. Book one was not named. Book two was, that's future memory. By the way, it's not a book. It is a labyrinth. It is a real labyrinth. And then book three, a manual for developing humans. And by the way, that's good for anybody who wants to learn to speak and think differently and have a lot more fun in your life. And, you know, that's what I was told to do. And then in, I think it was the next year when I finally left Idaho, I met Elizabeth Kubler-Ross at the O'Hare Airport.
Did you really?
Yeah, she was just sitting there waiting on her plane. Her plane was late, and I happened to be in the airport. And I saw her. So I went right up to her and introduced myself and you know, said what had happened to me. And she said, "Oh, my goodness, we need to talk about that." So we sat on a bench, the two of us talking like school kids. And she was the one, she became my mentor. She was the one who gave me the title, the name. But she called it, near-death experience. But she said I was a survivor. She didn't use the word experiencer. I was a survivor of the near-death experience. And she gave me the kind of guidance, I guess, that I would need to have then to start my own research. And my research, by the way, was on the near-death experience, those people who might have had it. And I sold everything in Idaho, walked out on my life on the very day, by the way, that I was to become a bank manager.
There goes that job.
Yeah, that was a big deal then. And I quit my job, sold my house. My kids chose to go elsewhere. And I crossed the United States. By the way, when I left Denver, I felt like I'd left the United States, and everything east of Denver was in Greece. And I made my way to the Washington, D.C. area and started my life all over again over there. And I gave a talk at a police station. You remember, I'm a cop's kid. I was raised in a police station, sort of. In those days, you could do that. And so they had kind of like a little room where, you know, anybody could be there and talk about whatever they wanted to talk about. So I talked about my near-death experience and when it was all over, a woman came up to me with stars in her eyes. She said, "Oh, I wish something like that would happen to me so I could be like you." And I absolutely froze. And I felt like I'd done something wrong. And from that moment on, for at least 3 decades, I never talked about my experience at all. Because my job was to be a researcher, not a personality.
Ah, but you became one of the world's largest experiencers. I mean, I remember you in the Larry King show.
That's back a ways, George.
Way back.
My research base now is nearly 5,000 adults and children.
Have you ever met Raymond Moody?
Oh, yeah.
He's a great guy.
I know Raymond.
Good guy.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
And he opened up a lot of doors in this field, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And still is.
And so have you.
And still am.
So this book, Edge Walker. Well, first of all, why do you call it Edge Walker?
Wow. Well, first of all, I was guided to call it that. And then it's very fitting. Because I was born like maybe 3/4 of a mile from the edge of Snake River Canyon in southern Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And so my life as a youngster was often on canyon walls. I'd climb them, and in the deserts, and I was all over everywhere. I was, you know, very much an outdoor kind of kid, and did that kind of thing, always on edges. And I came to realize my whole life has been like that, George. I've always been on the edge of something.
That is amazing. And did you just turn 86, if I can ask you your age?
Yes, you can. And yes, I did.
Good for
and it's
you.
Great.
You, well, number one, you don't sound 86. You sound way younger than that.
Well, nobody says I even look like that.
No, you don't. You don't at all. And how are you feeling? How's your health now?
Great. Absolutely great. I have to slow down just a little bit, but just a little bit, and that's it.
Well, slowing down a little bit that never hurts anybody. Now, the cover, is that basically where you were from? These mountains that I see, were you in that kind of environment?
Well, that's my publisher, but he wanted to give the idea of canyons, and so that's the cover. The idea of canyons and deserts, and because that's my background.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, these near-death experiences that you had in 1977, what made you think you had them?
Well, you don't think about that kind of thing. You just, you're so totally different. a completely, totally different. There's no way I can say that I'm the same kind of person I was before. It ends your life in that sense. Most near-death experiencers go through all kinds of changes, which I did as well. I was able to talk about that afterward. About 21% of the people, they don't go through very much changes. But the other 79%, it's almost as if they become another person. Because your changes they're metabolic changes, an increase in allergies, an increase in sensitivity, breathing anomalies, lower blood pressure. Mm-hmm. I can go on and on and on. Your mind changes. The way you speak, the way you talk, the way you live, everything changes.
In a big way, too.
And in a big way.
Have you learned how to cope with the possibility of death? Does it scare you anymore?
Nah. Been there, done that.
Just a walk in the park, right?
Yeah. When I die, I die. That's simple.
Are you a believer in a heaven and hell concept?
Well, I found that in my research, that people think many of them visit a more heavenly or a more positive environment afterward. But some people, it's just the opposite. In my research, 1 out of 7 had a more hellish or uncomfortable experience. But the rest of them... quite the opposite. Very positive. Some of them extremely positive and you know, great kind of an experience in the sense that they were able to visit other worlds, saw things through a very different light, and come back quite different. And really, it takes at least 7 to 10 years to integrate these experiences, because even though most people come back in a more positive way, it still takes a while to get used to these changes. You talk different, you think different. Sometimes it's a little scary. I don't care what happened to you. Sometimes it's a little scary. Because of, the way you live now. Many people, what is it? Figures are 50 to 60%. Well, actually, it's higher than that. It's in the 70%. Have a divorce afterward.
After a near-death experience.
After a near-death experience.
What happens to them? Well, do they change?
Yeah, they're so different. They're so changed.
They should change for the better, I would guess.
Yes, change for the better, but they no longer fit where they were before.
Maybe they don't tolerate as much as they did before.
Well, let me give you a little example.
Okay.
This one guy... He had a near-death experience, and it's like every woman you see is your wife, your sister, your daughter. Every man you see is your husband or son or uncle. It's like you love everybody. So he was doing this, but his wife thought he was flirting. His wife thought he was behaving, misbehaving. And it caused so much problems in the marriage, because the wife was convinced that he was trying to find someone else, and all he was just loving other people, being around other people.
He was happy.
He was happy, and wound up in a divorce.
She couldn't handle
it. And it's that kind of thing that you become so different that, you know, it's kind of hard to be in the same relationship.
Do you think, PMH, that everybody should go through a near-death experience to learn something?
Well, no, I'm not going to make that kind of a statement.
Okay.
But I am going to say, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody entertained the fact that there's another way of living and there's another way of thinking that's very positive and very good.
And so good.
Yeah.
You never forget it, do you?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be wonderful?
It is dramatic. Well, you know, the same thing happened with Dr. Eben Alexander, who wrote a little snippet for your book, Edgewalker.
Sure. I know Eben.
Good guy.
He came to me after his own experience.
It changed his life.
For some time. What?
It changed his life.
It changes everybody's life. Totally. Absolutely. You're not the same person you were before. I'm not the same person I was before.
How would you categorize yourself now, then, as opposed to what you were?
Well, I never thought of that. Well,
that's because I ask provocative questions.
I would say that I am happier. I would say that I'm more positive. And I would also say that I'm more happy with myself. And I think that's a big statement to make. When you're happy with yourself, wow, that's a biggie.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Where does the devil fit in?
Well, there's no such thing as a devil to me.
You don't believe in that?
Nah.
How come?
There really isn't any devil in that sense. Rather, it's you being tempted by negative thoughts and negative figures and negative incidents in your life and being drawn to that. You know, if we're going to look at the devil, then look at what's happening right now in the Middle East.
Horrible.
Yeah, people who turn to a negative blame life rather than trying to get along. Hey, I'll kill you. There's the devil.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to Season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, starting May 6th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.